Merry Christmas. And yeah, it's probably, maybe you still maybe have a Christmas left with your family. I have one more. I think we've had four or five so far this year. We, you know, it's always a busy, hectic time of year. And as we go in from, or we, if we go from the holidays into the new year, it's always a time of, for me anyway, it's a time for reflection, a time to reflect on the year that we've just came through, and a time of excitement to go into the new year. And, people don't really talk as much about New Year's resolutions as much as they used to. At least maybe I'm wrong. Who here sets New Year's resolutions? Okay, so that maybe point proven, right? It's like, I remember as a kid, that was a really common thing. It's everybody set New Year's resolutions, set up goals. I think it's really great to have goals as we go into the new year. But as we go into this new year, maybe some of us are excited to just get into a new year because maybe 2024 wasn't that great and we didn't experience the happy new year we had hoped to have. Or maybe we're excited to just carry the momentum that we have from 2024 into 2025. But either way, New Year's is a really good time to reflect, to remember, and even to respond. And I'll explain that here in a moment. But let's pray. We're going to get into the Word. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 28 to start. We're going to talk about a really interesting individual in the Bible, Jacob. But first, let's pray, and then we'll get into the Word. So, Father, I pray that you would lead us today. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each and every one of us right where we are. And I pray that you would give us spiritual eyes and ears to see and hear what you have to say to us. I pray that you would open our minds to understand your Word today. And I pray that you would speak to us and guide us in your truth. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're in Genesis chapter 28. Before we actually get into the verses or the scripture, Jeff, you can put that image on here. When I first started in ministry, just as a, I led youth ministry. Not as a, I didn't work at the church, but it was just a, I served doing youth ministry in high school and even in, well, a little after high school and in college. Someone gifted me this Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It's a really cool tool to study the Bible. And when I was studying Jacob this week, I knew there would be a character study in there. So I opened it and there's this really cool graphic that explains the life of Jacob. It says Joseph up there. That's just because that's the page, but I promise this is about Jacob. So Jacob is a really interesting person because he's always making deals. He's always trying to make deals. And at the very beginning, he cheats his brother out of his birthright. And then he steals his brother's blessing from his father. And then he runs. He runs for his life because Esau, his brother, plans to kill him because Jacob has taken what was rightfully his. So that leads us into Genesis chapter 28. We'll start there. And we're going to look, you can see these peaks and valleys, and this is really cool. I want to get right into it. So Genesis 28 verse 10, I'm reading from the NIV. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. How comfortable does that sound? You put a stone under your head for a pillow. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth and its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. So this is really interesting. As you get into verse 16, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. That's what I've heard. I've heard people say this. I think it's Luz. Some people have said Luz. I'm going to call it Luz. He names it Bethel, which really simply means house of God, the house of God. Like Bethlehem means house of bread. So he names the place the house of God. And right before what we've just read here in chapter 28, Jacob's brother Esau is planning to kill him. Jacob is literally running for his life, and he stops just at a certain place. He just stops where, really in the middle of nowhere. There's not a really specific reason why he stops there. It says that when he reached a certain place, and then God revealed himself to Jacob in a dream and gave him this promise. And then when Jacob woke up, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not even aware of it. So I believe, and maybe some of you can relate to this thought, but I think there's reason to believe that some of the greatest things that God will do in our lives are when we are in times of transition and in times of trouble. I've seen in my own life that God has done things that I had no idea that he was working out I had no idea. And Jacob's here in the middle of nowhere. He's just stopped because really the sun was setting and he's tired, and he doesn't even have the things to lay down. He rests his head on a stone. And so I'm going to jump ahead. I want to go into Genesis chapter 35. But between this section of scripture, I know we're covering a lot of text and it's going to make sense. So please just stay with me. Genesis 28, he's running from Jacob. In between there, Jacob proceeds to the land of Laban, and he's tricked into marrying Leah, who he's actually in love with, her sister Rachel. It's a much more complicated story than I'm summarizing right here, but there's a lot that goes on in between verses 20 or chapter 28 and chapter 35. Jacob wrestles with God. God blesses him. And we jump ahead. We go through, it's about 20, 21 years is what scholars would say took place between chapter 28 and chapters 35. And so we'll start in chapter 35, verse 1 through 7. We'll start here, verse 1. It says, then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell on the towns all around them, so no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, which is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Okay, so here's where I'm going this morning. Jeff, can you put that image back on the screen here? So you can see Jacob's life there are many peaks and valleys. There's mountaintop events that take place here. And two of the big mountaintop events take place in the same location. And they're where Jacob calls the place Bethel or Bethel. And so what I see here in our lives is that, can you relate that you've had, maybe you had a mountaintop experience in your faith in the past? Can you remember a time where the presence of God was so real to you that when you woke up in the morning, you were so excited about your faith and that God was so present, and so the feeling, the actual presence of God felt so tangible and so real to you? And then maybe as you've went through life, maybe things go in different directions than you plan, but those moments are still in our remembrance. So here's what I want to point out. Bethel is a place of remembrance. And it's not just a place of remembrance, it's a place of response. And I'll explain here in a second. Look at this, where Jacob goes back to Bethel, he says, "Come, let us go up to Bethel where I will build an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone." I can remember, for me, a mountaintop event for me was when I grew up in the church. I grew up in a really small church in College Corner, College Corner Church of the Nazarene. And my family was very involved in ministry there. My mom and dad both taught in youth ministry. In one summer, we had the youth group camp out at Houston Woods. And there was a scheduled baptism of maybe two people, one or two people that were scheduled to be baptized in the creek. If you're familiar with where the covered bridge is there in Houston Woods, it's right beside the covered bridge. Then I don't think the covered bridge was there because this was a long time ago. And as a kid, I wasn't old enough for youth group, but I got to go to the youth group campouts because my parents were teachers, right? So I was always there. And I can remember this moment like it was yesterday, where I was standing there on the creek side and I wasn't scheduled to be baptized, and I felt God compel me to be baptized that day. I think I was around 11 or 12 years old. And that moment was one of the most pivotal moments in my spiritual walk. And that's a mountaintop event that I remember. And I can actually remember, kind of funny enough, my mom was actually kind of angry with me because it wasn't planned and they didn't get, you know, there weren't pictures and things. But it was one of those moments that I felt God speak to me in such a real and intangible way. And I didn't expect it. I was just there. And looking back here in chapter 28, Jacob says, "How awesome is this place?" Now, if I look back, I'm like, gosh, I'd love to go back to that moment. It was an amazing experience. But here's what's really cool is, like, Jacob looks back and says, "How awesome is this place?" But he can see full circle now. He's been through some things. He's wrestled with God. In Genesis chapter 32, it says that his hip was out of socket from wrestling with God. He's limping. He's been through battles. He's had a few blessings. He's journeyed through life. And now he can see God wasn't just with me in that place, but he's been with me in that place, in that place, in that place. He's been with me everywhere I've went, even through all the peaks and the valleys. And here's what's amazing. We're just coming off of, you know, the Christmas season. The presence of God isn't a place or even a moment in time or a place. It's a person, and that person is portable. That's why Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us. It's literally, that's how it's translated, Emmanuel, God with us. The presence of God, if you're taking notes, I don't have this point written down, but You could write down the presence of God isn't a place, it's a person. See, this could be a Christmas message, actually. But he is the ever-present, ever-helpful, ever-faithful God, and he's not just on the mountaintop moments. He's here now, right now, through the mundane, through just the everyday moments, he's here. In Psalm 46, I love Psalm 46, but verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, and an ever-present help in trouble. So we can look at this and know that we're not alone. We're not by ourselves. We're not lost. God shows up. He can show up in the middle of nowhere. And then we can realize that he's with us. He is always with us. And the cool thing is, if you really think about this, God didn't just show up at Bethel when Jacob got there. He was there all along waiting for Jacob and waiting to open his eyes to see that he was there the whole time. So Bethel isn't just a place of remembrance. It's also a place of response. So the first time Jacob went to Bethel, he was making deals with God. I left out something in the first part of text in chapter 28 that we read. I told you about the vision that Jacob had, the dream, but I didn't tell you about the vow that he made. See, after God appeared to Jacob the first time he went to Bethel, it says in Genesis chapter 28, verse 20, which isn't going to be on the screen, that after Jacob had seen God, he made a vow saying this. So this is verses 20 through 22. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, typical Jacob here, so that I will return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. So he makes a deal with God there. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give a tenth. So he's kind of making a contract with God. He's a negotiator. We see it all through Jacob's life that he negotiates. So he's saying, if God will, then I will make the Lord my God. So then when he went back to Bethel the second time, it's a completely different situation. First time he's making a deal with God, after God gives him the vision. The second time, he goes back and he builds an altar. So here, I'm going to read from this section here in chapter 35 and go back here, because I want to get this. There he built an altar and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. In the Old Testament, you know, when we say the word altar now in modern times, I think of the church I grew up in. We had these little altars right up front of the stage that people would come up and pray at. Now, that was not all churches had these, but that was how it was when I grew up. But if we think about an altar in the Old Testament, an altar represents sacrifice. So this, the second time that Jacob is there, it's signifying that Jacob is making a sacrifice. So Bethel makes us realize that we really need God most in our lives. What we really need most in our lives is God's presence going with us through everything. So I want to read a verse in Romans chapter 12. If we think of how do we respond to this? How do we respond? And we think about sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So as we go into the new year and we reflect on all the things that God has done in our lives, and we remember and acknowledge that God's been with us wherever we've went, we also have the opportunity to respond. We can give all our hopes and all our dreams to God and ask for his presence, knowing that he's there every step of the way. So as we prepare for this new year, know that God is with you wherever you go, even in the mundane, even in the job maybe that you currently don't like, or the situation that you're in that doesn't quite make sense. God is there. He's present. He's an ever-present, ever-helpful, ever-faithful God, and he's standing right there, and he's present with you in every day. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for speaking to us. Lord, I pray that you would let your presence be felt in our lives, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for going with us everywhere we go and always being an ever-present help in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would guide us as we go into the new year and lead us. Help us to follow your leading and to listen to your word and to your will as we go into 2025. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.